Snack Bar Games Podcast. All right, and welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 224. I'm Graham, and I'm here with Jeff, Jerry, Sean, Andrew, and Grant. It's a full house tonight. How's it going, guys?
Not bad.
Doing good.
It's a full metaphorical house.
Yes.
All right. So we are back on a normal schedule this week. Last week we gave you our special thoughts on Mass Effect 3, and today we will not be talking about Mass Effect 3, because we did that already. So go ahead and check out that podcast if you want to hear our thoughts on that.
It's worth listening to.
It is, but this week we're going to try to cover all the other things, and as Mass Effect 3 came out, a bunch of other stuff happened too. Which is unsettling, because nothing was happening for weeks.
March is the Revenge of November.
Yes.
Okay. Revenge
of November.
Okay.
Christmas starts early this year.
It is the end of the fiscal year. And that is a bigger deal to companies than I think a lot of people realize. It was why the 3DS launched on March 27th last year, because they could get 4 days of sales on that fiscal year.
This is why Konami is releasing every Silent Hill game ever this month.
Yep. And, we're seeing definitely a few major releases this month. But, all right, we can go ahead and start with... maybe we could do news. We haven't done that in a while, except for every other episode. So, what do we have in news, Sean?
Well, we have SimCity 5 finally coming out eventually. It's been announced.
Right. So, SimCity.
I'm excited.
5. Yeah.
When was the last SimCity? I don't remember.
SimCity.
It was SimCity 4.
Out, because we don't count SimCity societies.
I was gonna say, yeah, SimCity 4. I know that. I know how numbers work.
It came out in 2002.
Right. It's definitely been a while, and I think a lot of the fervor over SimCity kind of went away as focus shifted to The Sims. They said we're getting a full SimCity, and
it better have llamas.
Yeah. What do you guys think about this? Because I have a thought, but I want to see if any of you guys agree before I share it.
I think I'm excited to play another SimCity game, assuming it runs on my computer. That's about it.
Okay. I think that Cities XL is a sorry excuse for replacing SimCity.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it.
Those people did a pretty good job of trying to replicate something that a much, much larger team did.
Yes. They just... Yeah. What they did was laudable, but it just doesn't hold up to SimCity.
Right.
Or at least our memories of SimCity.
So, here's my thought. I want to play another SimCity. I think I'll probably have fun with it. We have seen a lot happen to Sim games since the last SimCity. And I don't know if the standard SimCity model is going to have nearly as much success as it used to.
What are the things that have happened? Because I honestly haven't paid attention.
Well, I mean, just generally, you know, that audience that liked playing SimCity for the casual aspect of let me just build some stuff and then when it starts to go bad, I'll just start throwing natural disasters at it.
Yeah.
I have fun with it that way too.
Yeah. That's how I play
SimCity. A lot of those people, you know, there's a burgeoning casual, free-to-play, whole bunch of segments to the market for sim titles. You can sim whatever you want. And I don't know if necessarily people specifically liked being city planners. You know, so especially with a lot of basically every Facebook game known to man.
So you're basically saying that SimCity should go free to play?
No.
No.
I'm saying that the last thing SimCity should do is go free to play.
Okay, I agree.
No, I think
in that case, it would lose every advantage it has.
There's a pretty big demand for that type of game. I mean, just look at Minecraft. It's obvious that there are a lot of people that want to play sandbox games.
Right, but they're already playing Minecraft.
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, there's a lot of people that play Minecraft in sort of phases. They play it for a while, then they'll stop and play other games, and then go back to it a few months later.
Sure.
So SimCity will replace one of those phases.
Okay. Hey, I mean, I'm certainly not trying to diss SimCity. I hope it has success. I worry that this will be the one where they bring it back, it fizzles, and they never see it again. I don't want that to be true, but...
Well, I thought that's what Societies was.
Yeah, let's not talk about Societies.
Yeah, we're pretending Societies didn't exist. Speaking of not existing, I didn't realize that Maxis was still its own entity in EA.
Speaking of existing, what a transition. Speaking of things that exist or don't exist, let's talk about this.
I was thinking Sean was going to get philosophical on us for a second.
Right.
Okay, no. Sorry about that.
All right. No, but I mean, we've seen things from Maxis recently. I mean... They always do long form projects, but I mean they had been working on Spore for a while, right?
I forget all about Spore until someone brings up Spore, and then 10 minutes later I forget about it again.
That's fair. All those completely forgettable spinoffs they started making after that, where they made Spore Hero and Spore Hero Arena and Darkspore, and I'm sure there's another one.
Yeah, I think I can really see why they would want to be getting back to the roots.
There was Spore Galactic Adventures.
Ah, yes.
There was a lot of Spore that nobody actually wanted.
The Spore.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be the reboot.
Two Sporeus.
Oh, God.
Yep.
This is why you don't come up with video game titles.
Right. Yep. No. But with a lot of that, I know basically they put years and years and work into Spore, and they just wanted to recycle a lot of that stuff and just make some games real quick with it. But yeah. All right. So, yep, John, more news. Let's do something. What we got?
More news. Sorcery is going to arrive on May 22nd.
Probably.
Which means I will get a move sometime around that time.
Really? You're excited about Sorcery?
I am.
I'm just surprised that people like that exist. I didn't think anyone really cared about Sorcery anymore.
I think
me and Graham might
like
be the only two that are.
This great gamer hope for the move. Everybody's like, but Sorcery, it's the one thing you say, like, but, like, I bought this thing, and, like, but Sorcery is supposed to come out.
I don't know about that, because...
I get the feeling it's going to be bad.
I have a Wii sensor bar on top of my TV, and I have a Kinect on the bottom of my TV. I have no room for a PlayStation Eye.
You tape it to the top, on top of the sensor bar.
Yeah, what you need to do is put the Kinect on the sensor bar and then tape the eye on top of the Kinect. And then you just have a tower of...
Yeah, the only thing is you can't do that because the Kinect moves up and down.
Oh, right, yeah.
So the way I've always done it is I have the Kinect right below the TV. And I have the sensor bar on the top of the TV, and then the sensor bar is just a bar. So then you just put the eye on top of the bar. It works out pretty well.
Your TV is a monstrosity.
That's yeah.
It one is. Step closer to human.
Yeah. It recognizes what I say. It's 3D vision. It doesn't have X-ray vision. It just sees me in 3D, and then it sees me in 2D, and then it has two lights.
What are we talking about again?
His Terminator
Sorcery, 3D. Right? Oh, okay. Sorcery.
All right.
I mean. there was another big move hit last year, right? Everyone remembers Medieval Moves.
Deadman's Quest.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Great job, Sony. That was.
I mean, clearly, all you know that Deadman's Quest was our game of the year.
Oh yeah, that's.
Nobody saw it coming. Great. You know, it brought us back to our favorite games of years past, like the award-winning Link's Crossbow Training, and yeah, all of the fun of Sports Champions, but without the idea that was fun because you played it with your friends.
I mean, it took some cues from Smash Wii title Ninja Reflex.
Right. Yep.
Oh man.
I'm just having such fond memories of these games. This is fun. This is fun.
They were brilliant. They were right. One of a kind.
Yeah.
Except they weren't, but you know.
I mean, yeah, great. Because I like motion control in my action games.
Who doesn't?
I mean, who didn't like the original Red Steel? Like, you know,
masterpiece. Come on, right. That was the reason I bought a Wii, not Zelda.
That and Rayman Raving Rabbids, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. That and the Wii port of Marvel Ultimate Alliance, where all the special moves were mapped to shaking the remote a lot.
Okay, now you're going too far.
Okay.
Excitron, guys.
Yeah. All right, but you know, Sorcerer, I think, would have been a great launch title. I'm worried that like it has not shown any sort of depth to make it worth buying a box copy of a game.
It seems like it'd be a good downloadable.
The move at all, right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, right.
And there's a little matter of a different game coming out a week before that might overshadow that a little bit.
Oh, what game was that?
Just something called Diablo 3.
I've never heard of that one. What is it?
Oh, it's an obscure Blizzard game.
You just keep bringing up these indie games, and I don't know what this is about. But
does it have motion controls?
I don't think so. But it might eventually be an MMO because it's from Blizzard. Yeah. You know.
Is it one of those Korean games that like you see all those Korean games?
I think they play it a lot there.
Okay. So it's probably. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay.
But they definitely played
it
a lot.
I don't see that being a big deal.
So. And it's the third. I mean, where did the first two come? I don't remember the first two.
Yeah.
I think they were Korea only.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, along with StarCraft and Warcraft.
Well, that will be just as good as all those other Korean games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like MapleStory.
Definitely.
That one was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I might grab it just to see how it is.
Okay. No, but seriously, Diablo 3, we, you know, probably will see it. That'd be great. Been in beta a while.
Kind of a big deal.
They have consistently ignored my request to be in the beta.
It's something.
Yeah. Am I the only one who's actually kind of more interested in Torchlight 2?
No, you're not alone. I'm looking forward to both, to be honest. Like, they're both completely different games to me, just from an art perspective. Torchlight 2 was a pretty fun experience. One. Yeah.
I was gonna say if you've played Torchlight 2, we need some coverage.
But like, yes. I picked up Torchlight 1 just like on a whim because I was just kind of like, oh, let's just buy this game because I hear people say it's great, and I was like, oh man, this is amazing. I hadn't played like Diablo since like '99. I never played 2.
I mean, that was when you played Diablo. That was when everyone played Diablo.
Yeah. Right. I don't remember the year it came out, but I never actually. I played a little bit of 2, but I never. Really got around to playing through the entire thing, so Torchlight was a big deal to me because it's like, oh man, they've improved so much since the original Diablo as far as everything went.
Yeah,
and it's just really colorful, and you just feel powerful in that game just because just the way everything's presented.
Yeah,
plus you get a pet.
Yeah,
and you get a pet. The pet's pretty annoying, but
I just hope that we get to play Torchlight 2 before Diablo 3 comes out for Torchlight's sake.
I'll still play it.
I mean, I will too, but. You know, those are good guys over there. They do good work. And Diablo is going to sell no matter what. So come on, Torchlight. Release next month.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything on it. They haven't really shown anything. They've shown what classes look like.
Right. I've seen a little bit of it, but anyway.
I feel like they missed their perfect window for that. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, which would have been like October of last year or so.
Yeah.
Along with everything else.
July of last year or so. April of last year or so.
Something like that. They kept pushing it.
They should have released it in 2003.
Torchlight 2 before Torchlight.
That would have been Game of the Year 2003.
It would have been. Because it would have been. Then they released Torchlight 1. What,
no one would have been able to run it. So,
well, didn't you hear Army of 2 sequel is called Army of 1? Duh. Or it's, did the game have a sequel? Actually, I think that game already had a sequel.
Army of Two, the 40th day, yes.
Yeah. That's right. Ah, damn. Which
actually, I think it takes place like 41 days after the first one.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Diablo 3, it's coming, everyone.
Yep.
Yay. Hey,
John, more news.
More news. Xbox Live arcade titles will have 400 points of achievements instead of 200 starting in April.
I don't care.
Was there any reasoning for that? Was there any reasoning for that, really?
The reasoning for it originally was that they felt like arcade titles were much smaller scale than retail titles, and so they didn't deserve more points. I'm guessing this is them deciding that arcade titles have evolved past what they expected them to be. And so they're worth 40% of a full retail title instead of 20%.
Yeah, I guess their point. Are the developers actually going to like make more achievements, or are they just going to make the achievements worth more?
They are allowed to use up to 30 achievements. They don't have to use all of them, but they can use up to 30 for those 400 points. They will be utilizing it because in June it becomes mandatory for all of them to use the higher point total.
I can't wait for all those games that are basically done now, or they're just going to add one 200 point achievement.
You press start.
Good job.
I mean,
title update.
That's the whole thing. Essentially, they're doing this to try to get people to buy more XBLA games if they care about GamerScore.
And they will. And people will.
And people will. So why not just add those 200? It's like press. If you buy the game, then just there's some more GamerScore for you. I don't care about GamerScore. I think it's dumb. I like the idea of having like ways of showing people that you beat the game or did something particularly tough in it, but how many points that's worth, I don't care. I don't care at all.
Yeah, that's irrelevant, really.
Yeah.
People can game their gamer score so much. They can, you know, track down bad kids' games and get 1,000. I mean, like, it's not impressive. Like
Avatar.
I did that once.
Yeah, I was going to say Avatar was probably, like, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am ashamed to admit that I stooped those levels.
Shame on you guys.
Okay, Sean, let's do one more news item that I don't hate before we keep going.
Okay, Wasteland 2 will happen. How about that?
Okay, I don't hate that. Wasteland 2 may happen.
It will happen. It has been fully funded.
Yes, it may happen. I know how this works.
Fair enough.
It's not necessarily guaranteed that they'll actually finish that project.
That is true.
They have the capability.
They may run through the money and not finish in time.
Right. So those of you who don't know, Wasteland was, I mean, basically, Fallout was the spiritual successor to Wasteland, developed by largely the same team. And but the original creators have bought the IP to Wasteland, and they're making a new Wasteland after over 20 years. So we're going to have one of those.
Yeah, it'll release, I think, 25 years after the original.
I'm surprised it has so much support, but I think I get the feeling that this whole Double Fine thing kind of pushed smaller projects like this into the spotlight more.
Right. Though said, this was, what, $1 million?
It was a $900,000 pledge.
Right.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, they needed $1 million, but the owner said he'd put in $100,000 of his own money if they could get the other $900,000. Hmm. But this one isn't exactly a small project, and I think that we saw after the Double Fine thing, we saw a lot of pretty bad projects trying to capture. Oh, hey, you know, you like games? Here's a game. It's got like ninjas in it.
Hey, I like ninjas.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I know the first thing you want to do is have ninjas open a bowling alley and a free-to-play iOS game, right?
Who doesn't?
Right.
Definitely.
So yeah, we saw a bunch of really bad stuff. I feel like this is the requisite time to say I do think that this would be a great venue for companies that want to localize games but don't know if they will be able to have the money to do it.
It's almost as if we wrote a feature about that.
Yes. Anyway, I won't go any further, but come on. Come on.
You just really want Valkyria Chronicles 3, I know.
Yes. Yes, I do.
And Trails in the Sky 2.
I have it.
Well, you want it in a language.
I want to be able to read it.
Yeah.
It does not use elementary level Japanese or lower, which is all I can do after 7 years of study. So that's as far as I'm going to be able to go. And
this is what you got to do.
The dialogue does not consist of them talking about whether it's cloudy or sunny. So
what you got to do is make up your own story.
I know when they say it's Thursday, that it's Thursday.
Oh,
so that's
pretty
good. Is that
important to the plot?
Is there any divine wind in it?
No.
That's the only word I know in Japanese. Kamikaze.
Great. Thanks. Thanks.
Sorry.
Oh, man. What are we talking about anymore?
You guys continually find ways to disappoint me. And by you guys, I pretty much just mean Sean. Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. let's move on. Things are happening. News is happening. For more news, go to snackbar-games.com on Sundays for our weekend review. All right.
Yes, please someone read it. I put a lot of effort into that.
You put literally seconds of effort.
I have to read what I'm writing about.
I'm not sure you read it. As your editor, I'm not sure you read the things you type.
I read most of the things I type.
All right. Let's talk about some games. Hey, Grant.
Hey, what's up?
You've been playing games, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Do you like games?
On occasion, you know.
Okay.
I think they're a little overrated, but some. Anyway, yeah, I've been playing Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Right.
And Mass Effect, but we're not talking about that one. Anyway,
I don't know what game you're talking about. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Street Fighter Cross Tekken, it released last week.
Okay.
The beginning of when, you know, all the floodgates opened and...
Okay.
Just...
Everything else came out?
Everything else in the history of video games came out.
There are floodgates in this game.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, let me think about that. No.
Water physics.
No, I
want an underwater fighting game.
They might already have you covered there. No, I'd have to think about that one. But, yeah, so I've been playing Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Okay.
It's,
Who is Capcom. This for?
This is for... Honestly, it's for fighting game fans, mostly. That's I think the entire appeal of the game.
It's only if you've played enough fighting games and you want another one. It's not. Is it tailored for any audience at all?
I don't know. Honestly, the Street Fighter Cross Tekken thing, when they announced that game, I was actually really surprised that they were going forward with that because there's such different games, and like the community is so divided between like 2D and 3D fighters generally, and. Okay. So I was like, I'm really interested to see how this is going to work out. I like both of them. I love both of those games. So my interest was piqued. And, so this is Capcom's version of it. Namco's actually going to be releasing their version, which will be Tekken Cross Street Fighter.
Great.
Next year. But
I'm just trying to think if there are more than a dozen.
More than a dozen?
More than a dozen people in the United States that care about Tekken.
I know me and Eric count for two.
Okay,
but let's see.
That's just the amusing thing to me. I know that they're the two big franchises in Japan.
Yeah.
But there's a hardcore Street Fighter following here, but then, when they announced it, they were like, are you sure you guys didn't mean Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Like, nope, Tekken. The other one, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would play a Street Fighter Cross Mortal Kombat game.
Street Fighter Cross Hatsune Miku fighting game.
Yeah.
Tatsunoko Cross Tekken.
And, you know, Ed Boon and those Mortal Kombat guys, they did Mortal Kombat versus DC. You know, they knew they can cash in on that, too. And Marvel Nemesis kind of cash in on that, too.
Oh, God.
But,
The only one I would play is Smash Brothers cross Street Fighter.
Okay.
I would not play that. That would be bad.
Sean, if you're interested in those games, I recommend going and trying the Onimusha fighting game. I haven't played it, but I hear it's like Smash Brothers.
It's go like full Japan. Smash Brothers, but bad.
That's what
I don't know. That's for him to judge.
Oh, okay. It's like Smash Brothers, but it's for you to judge.
It's Samurai. It's got 100% more Samurai in it. Not Samurai Goro, though. Sorry. But,
I like Samurai.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing. I mean, Tekken is actually pretty popular here, is what I've heard, but I've never talked to anyone else on Earth besides like Eric. besides Eric and like my brother.
But I've never talked to anyone else on Earth. Okay.
It's just everyone else saying, oh, yeah, people love Tekken. And then you ask them who, and they can't think of
that. Exactly. I don't know.
They're like, oh, yeah, I remember playing Tekken 2 in like the arcades. There's more of those?
Tekken 3 was pretty good.
Came out.
Everyone just says no. There are other people who love it. None of them actually play it.
But, yeah. Anyway, yeah, Street Fighter Cross Tekken actually is a pretty easy to pick up and play game, so I think it will bring in a new audience of people that are like that BlazBlue kind of brought in to start.
Okay.
Which is like this new wave.
Let me just go down this checklist. Is this for people who like Street Fighter?
Yes.
Is this for people who like Tekken?
That depends on the Tekken. I would say no.
Okay.
Just because it really plays nothing like Tekken.
So this is kind of Tekken for people who like Street Fighter.
It's Street Fighter with Tekken characters in it.
Or people that just love fighting games in general. Like, they'll like it. But, like, the Tekken characters, they did a pretty good job of trying to make the Tekken characters feel like they play like Tekken characters. But it's pretty much just target combos, kind of like, I mean, the Street Fighter characters already had that stuff, so it's nothing, like, brand new.
Okay.
Just the Tekken characters have, like, way more moves to memorize because they have these really easy dialer combo kind of stuff that Tekken's known for.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, it's not I don't think Tekken fans will like it nearly as much as the Street Fighter fans.
I mean, generally, I think most fighting games are fairly well made, and we can assume that this one is. But I'm just worried, like, is it more accessible than your regular Street Fighter games?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Okay.
It's a lot easier to play. I've actually got some friends that I play with that are, like, not that great at fighting games, and I'm not great either, but we're all a bunch of casuals, and, usually, though, it's usually I'll win, like, 9 out of 10 of the games I play, where when we started playing this one, I taught them, like, the first, like, fundamental things that they teach you in the game, and they caught on pretty quick, and I've probably lost quite a few, actually, to them. And so that enough is to prove, like, it's an easy-to-learn system. There's easy, like, switch combos, which is literally just, like, you know, you got your 6 buttons, the 3 punches, the 3 kicks, standard Street Fighter style.
Right, for your left, center, and right legs.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, that's what the Tekken will be. I'm sure the Tekken one's going to be a 6-button fighter, and then you'll have a center leg and a center arm.
Right.
But, yeah, literally, like, to switch out and, like, do these little cool combos, all you have to do is, like, hit medium punch, high punch, high punch. That's all you got to do. And you'll switch out and you can continue the combo with another person. It's hard to, like, continue the combo, but you can get the combo started really easily. Which is really, it's really neat. At the same time, it's kind of lame because literally match will drag on past the time limit for that very reason because people just keep doing the switch out combo over and over. Because you lose the game or you lose the round the moment like one person's KO'd, which is Tekken Tag Tournament rules, which I thought was also kind of strange because, you know, Marvel versus Capcom, it's when your entire team runs out of health is when you lose that round. So,
I only have one round. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is only one round in Marvel vs. Capcom, though. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's...
So it sounds like it's trying to be more accessible than your standard Street Fighter. But then, I mean, you bring up Marvel vs. Capcom, and this is kind of the example of the, you know, fun, crossover, accessible fighter game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Tekken Cross Street Fighter does... I mean, it seems like that whole gem system makes it tough for it to find much of a spot in the tournament scene.
No, I honestly don't think it's probably going to find a very good spot in the tournament scene. And that was pretty much doomed from the start, I think, just because of the mentality those players have, first of all. But it's a fun game for anyone that's just like a casual player. And even like, so like, yeah, exactly. It's like, if you're curious about playing a fighting game that's just fun, just kind of, it's not like Smash Brothers fun, where it's kind of like you just jump in and just do whatever, goofy, and you have a great time no matter how well you're doing. But
is it Flying Dragon for the N64 fun?
I never played that one, so I couldn't tell you.
You should play it. And awesome.
Write that down.
And they should make a sequel to that.
Yeah.
They should put that on Kickstarter.
The part of the podcast where no one has any idea what game you're referring to.
Well, that's okay. I'm gonna learn what this is. I think this is very important.
You should. Chris, the editor-in-chief around here, and I both have an irrational fondness for Flying Dragon for the N64. And every chance we get, we try to bring up that to various PR people. Like, hey, you guys working on a Flying Dragon game? And their answer is no, of course not.
Just we'll start up a petition right here.
Right, let's do it.
I'm signing for it. I don't know what Flying Dragon is, but I can get behind this.
You should. No, but before, just since you guys don't know, I will take a second and tell you what it is. The original Flying Dragon was an NES fighting game, which I feel like that says enough about that. fighting games weren't really fighting games at that point. But the N64 version was this very strange fighting game that had characters in both, like, regular full-size mode that was very Virtua Fighter-y, you know, 2D with 3D models and stuff like that. But then they also had chibi versions of themselves.
Oh, wait, I think I have heard of that game.
And then, but the real draw of it was there was the single-player mode where it was a fighting game, but you, like, had, like, items and equipment and a story. And so
that sounds kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, and we did see some of that with, I guess Soul Calibur kind of did some of that with maybe 3. But we haven't really seen like a good single player campaign for a fighting game in a while.
Yeah, it's true. Unless you can't like the story for Mortal Kombat, but even that's stretching it, I think. But actually, now that I look at Flying Dragon, yeah, I've seen that box art before. But yeah, I've never played that. I'm going to look into that.
How about Way of the Warrior, Naughty Dog's classic.
Flying Dragon cross Way of the Warrior.
Right. Yes. Naughty Dog isn't busy, right? They don't
cross
have any
Battle Arena Toshinden.
But yep. if we're gonna bring in that stuff, I just want an Ergies remake. That's what I want.
Oh man. That had a weird single player mode with that RPG.
Yeah,
I think it was like quest mode. Is that what it was called? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was bizarre. But like everyone talks about Dissidia. I'm like, no man. No, Ergies.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
I'm in that camp.
Dasher Inoba, best character ever made in any fighting game.
In any game ever.
Yeah. His ending was just him eating ramen endlessly. Like, you could just watch it for hours because it just looped. You just order more and more. It was the best ending.
All right. Okay, so we can move on. But Street Fighter Cross Tekken, pretty good. Not entirely sure who it's for, but pretty good.
Yeah. Check it out if you liked Street Fighter and Tekken. Or check it out if you just like Street Fighter. That's probably the
best.
Or
if you just like
there crosses. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Andrew. What have you been playing?
Hi. What have I been playing? Well, I've been playing something, but I can't really talk about it. But there's another thing I've been playing that is called Journey, which is not at all related to the band, before you say anything about that, Sean. although there is an amazing video of a Journey trailer with Journey music dubbed over it, and it's the best piece of marketing for that game. That is an actual piece of marketing for that game. So okay. I would recommend that. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So I have played Journey. That is a very good game.
It is an experience.
Since I'm pretty sure I'd be unable to, can you in words describe the game Journey?
Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, that you don't.
Shut up,
that's
Sean.
Exactly it. No, well, that's it. You don't stop believing in your character, and then you know you're going through this desert, and then you're picking up these things. It's making your scarf longer.
Yeah,
and you slide down the sand, and that's really cool. And then and then eventually, if you have the online enabled, you run into other people, and then you start having this thing where you can like sing to them. I don't know the actual name of the power, but it's just like the form of communication.
It's whistling, not singing.
What's that?
It's whistling.
Whistling. Ah, okay. That works. So you whistle to them, and there's no actual voice, you know, in the game. You just kind of whistle to them. That kind of makes it seem like everyone you're playing with is your best friend. So then when you lose them, you're very sad.
They are, though.
But no, they're your best friends.
No,
they're using you.
There's no one on Earth that at all has any, you know, affection for or trust in you, except for this one person. You finally get to meet them, and then they begin to hate you. This is Journey.
Whoa.
Is that how your experience went?
Right? I mean...
What are we talking about anymore?
That's the game, right? That's... Right?
It's just a dark turn.
My game was...
What happened to you, Journey, Graham? What happened?
My game was, like, meeting friends and then them not knowing how to play the game, so I just left them.
I made good friends. They all knew how to play, and then I lost them, and I cried.
I would literally just, like, wait for them, and they just kind of piddle around and stand still, and, like, I'd do something in, like, hopes that they're, like, catching on to what I'm doing. So they'll follow suit, and they didn't do it.
As soon as I found someone, I had a little routine where I'd show them, like, little patterns for my whistling and what that would mean.
Oh, I never even thought about that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. The first time I played, I ended up with 4 people at the end of the game. And I was like, hey, those are... I thought I only had 2, but okay, cool.
Yeah, I had 5, but yeah.
Yeah, the second time I had 5, and that was even weird.
Wait, can there be more than one person with you?
They change out.
Oh, they change. Okay, I was gonna say because I only ever had one person with me. I had 8 people go through it. Like, half my people just AFK'd.
Yeah. if you get like far enough away from them, they just kind of disappear from your game. But it's so seamless that you don't even really notice.
Right, and I like that because if someone's really being obnoxious, you can just go away from them. And
yeah, exactly. So you don't have to play with people, but I think it's
you should. I don't understand what that game would be if that wasn't part of it.
Yeah.
I was very sad when I found out you couldn't push people off a cliff.
They could push themselves off. Yeah. That had to happen to one of my people.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is Journey. You just kind of you have a journey. Spiritually. Yeah. Emotionally.
Sure. Yeah.
Physically.
Physically?
Physically?
Okay.
Well, you can physically move if you want while you're holding the controller.
Okay.
You know, because you can use the 6-axis. And if you want to get into it, you can... Yeah, it is optional. So you can actually physically move your body along with moving the camera if you're crazy like that. I'm not. I could be. Okay.
But so, no, one thing I liked a lot about that is... I really don't want to spoil that game. You should all go play that game. It's $15, but suck it up.
Yeah, that should be... You should be doing marketing for the game.
It's suck 50. It up. Give us your money.
Movies cost like $10 anyway. It's only $5 more, and it's just as long.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
And you can change how it happens.
And right. You'll make new friends.
Right. And then
we'll never
talk
to you again. Yeah.
Yeah. But one time I played, and there is one segment of the game where you can take damage, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one enemy and it kind of like locks onto you and then hits you. And so, you know, when you do things, your scarf gets longer, but if you get hits, your scarf gets shorter again and your scarf length, you know, carries over into the next playthrough. So one of the guys I was going up, like that popped into my game had a really long scarf and we were in this segment. And, you know, it was my first playthrough. So, and then the guy just, like, he locked onto me. It's like, oops. But then I did, you know, kind of like in action movies, like, go on without me, I'll hold him off. And I just, like, ran off over to the side to make sure it wouldn't hit that guy. I was like, yes.
Oh, man.
I was helpful to that guy.
You were.
Except for I was the one who got us in that situation in the first place. But still. Yep, and then he left.
Aw. Well, that's just depressing.
Yeah.
What?
Journey's really depressing, but you should play it.
You should listen to it, too.
It's worth spending money to get really depressed.
And then happy again.
And then
depressed again.
Pretty much just depressed, yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say about Journey? Except for, I mean, we can't really say much about Journey, really.
Yeah,
it has to be experienced, but I get the feeling we'll try to talk about it later this year too.
I have the most obvious statement to say about Journey.
Okay,
it is a good looking game.
It is a good looking game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's great.
That sand is real nice.
Yep.
Okay.
Particle physics.
Snow is pretty good.
Yeah. Spoilers, there is snow.
Spotlight, eventually. Pretty good.
The scarf physics are nice.
Scarf's all right.
Ah, yeah.
Scarf's a
the part where you're surfing past the city and the sun is setting is pretty fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Everyone should play Journey.
Everyone should play Journey.
Even okay. You, Sean.
I'm going to start a Kickstarter to get $15 to play it.
Okay.
That might work, actually.
What are the rewards for people?
I get to experience this. And they don't have to feel like there's someone who doesn't understand it.
So, Sean, if we do this for you, can I start a Kickstarter that incentivizes you to like it? Is there any way I could do that?
That's a stretch goal.
The goal for that one's $1,000.
Okay. Wow. Oh, better get cracking then.
That's ambitious.
Drives a hard bargain.
Yes. We'll see. Well, I mean, hey, if Tim Schafer can do it.
Yeah.
Right? Yep, yeah,
exactly. Tim who?
Yeah.
For sure, everyone. Everyone knows who I am. It's cool.
Just some
I get
guy.
That.
Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right.
And he asked for $400,000. I'm only asking for $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Sean, since you haven't been able to talk about this, talk about baseball.
Baseball's coming, guys, and it's going to be awesome.
I don't know. I didn't really like the original game, so I don't know if I like the sequel.
Well, you probably won't because the Mariners are still bad. But
why
they're not as bad as the Astros.
Why you gotta hit me where it hurts?
They're not as bad as the Astros or the Athletics, if that helps at all.
They're worse than the AAA Durham Bulls.
Which team is that for?
What?
Which minor league team is that for?
The Durham Bulls?
Yes.
Which minor league team is that for? The Durham Bulls?
What major league
minor
team
league
are they
team
affiliated
is...
with?
Oh, gosh. What are they kept getting thrown around. I forget.
Okay. Baseball, well, I'll say it's possible that they are better than the Mariners.
They are. Baseball needs a system of promotion and relegation. They'd be a major league team a long time ago.
Like the English Premier League?
Right. Yep. Exactly like that. Or like backbreaker football. Right? Everybody loved that game?
I didn't get to play that one. I wanted to.
Yep. No, it's not very good. But did have a promotion relegation system for football, which is great.
Nice. Get rid
it's
of the Rams.
Not real teams or players or anything, so... Yep.
All right. So baseball. 2K12 is better than last year, but not that great still.
Okay.
They fixed the fact that there was only one way to control everything.
Okay. Right.
With the right stick.
Now they've made a whole bunch of ways to control, which is
better. No, you can use the control stick or you can use buttons again.
Okay, great.
And the buttons are much better. The controls are less finicky, so it's, or for the right stick, it's less finicky.
Okay.
So that's actually a viable control option now. However, somehow they managed to make it so that fielding is the most sluggish thing you've ever done. It's like everyone's moving in slow motion.
So it's, I mean, that sounds like when I was younger and played baseball. Yep.
Yeah.
You had the ability
really
to
bad.
Slow down time?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot you don't know
often.
About me.
You should use that more often.
I should.
Unless you do, we just don't know about it.
I use it for editing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Baseball.
But yeah, so Sean, they've improved some things, but have they improved enough for you to say that people who don't own a PS3 should buy a baseball game?
I still think they should wait, like, until they can get a used copy, because it'll be cheaper then.
Okay.
But
then they don't get $1 million.
They're not going to get it anyway.
Okay. But yeah, so...
One person out of the 8,000 people that buy it will.
Okay, sure. But it's improved. And I feel like this is all leading up to the discussion about the show, which is the only game you should buy on your PS3, and is still the only game you should buy on your PS3.
Except Journey, apparently.
Yes. The only baseball game you should buy on your
PS3. Yes. It is the only one you should buy on your PS3.
It's kind of spoilers, but Journey is actually about baseball.
Oh.
Yeah.
That explains all the sliding I saw.
Yeah.
Existential baseball.
Yeah. Roy Halladay actually is the supporting character. He's that other guy. You just, you know, they're wearing like the like all that clothing, but your online partner actually is Roy Halladay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'd rather it was Yu Darvish.
Okay. Well, it's not though. So if that's
a shame. He's Japanese too. It makes sense.
That'll be DLC.
You know, okay. No Japanese people were involved in the making of Journey.
That makes it inferior.
I feel like we're talking about baseball at some point.
Probably not.
So,
okay.
The show has transferring in it.
Okay.
I'm on board.
But like cloud transferring, right?
Yes.
It's not that you have to like sit there and plug your Vita up and transfer your game as you leave. You just...
This is true. It goes through the cloud. So you can, if you have a 3G Vita, you can pick, essentially, if you forgot to put it on your Vita before you left.
Okay. So, but... I was wondering about that because, as I understand it, even though the Vita version is largely the same version, there, like, it doesn't have like all of the full franchise modes and things.
I haven't checked out the Vita version yet.
Okay.
The press material I got says that it does have at least one franchise mode.
Okay, so
online. It has the Road to the Show.
Okay, so I mean, maybe if you want to get back to us about that, I was curious about that, but
I will definitely do that.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah. So generally, if you have a PS3 and you like baseball, continue to buy the show because it's pretty good.
Yeah.
2K12 becoming adequate for people who don't own a PS3.
Yes. And it's weird about this. If you only get them every once in a while because of they're generally just roster updates, it is worth noting that both systems have a name change for the Miami Marlins. And already have the new postseason setup installed.
Okay. All right. Miami. Sorry, I do have to bring this up at this point. There is now a Major League Baseball team called Miami.
Yes.
So we're getting closer to 2015. So they can lose to the Cubs in the World Series, and I can have my hoverboard. And then we can go to the Cafe 80s. And
watch Jaws 13.
Right. Yep. All right. So, other games people have been playing. Do we have other games people have been playing?
I think Jerry's been playing Binary Domain.
Ah, yes. Jerry, Binary Domain. What's going on with that one?
Binary Domain is a blast.
Okay. Like, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Haven't had a lot of fun with it. I haven't delved too much into multiplayer, though multiplayer for Binary Domain is actually kind of tiring because the matches can either be short if you're playing with people who don't know how to play.
Okay.
It's the typical horde mode. But if you know what you're doing and you're trying to get to last out all the waves, that you can be playing a map for up to 3 hours.
Okay, so I think we should go back a little bit. What is Binary Domain?
It's a third-person shooter made by people who don't normally make third-person shooters. It's by a team, the Yakuza team.
Yep, that's usually a recipe for success.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they made another one before this one, which was which came out last week. Yakuza Dead Souls here in the U.S. and. Yeah. It's not quite Dead Souls. Like,
okay.
The controls for Binary Domain are heaven to earth difference from Dead Souls.
Okay. In a good way.
In a good way.
Okay. And so you are one of those people who really likes the Yakuza series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So are there elements of this that appeal to you in that way, or is it just kind of a completely different game that you happen to also like?
You can really see the Yakuza team influence when it comes to like the game story once the character dynamics start kicking in. Because the beginning of the game starts very shooter-ish, you know, introducing the trying to introduce a setting, so on. But you eventually reach a point in the game where you're just walking through these places and not actually shooting things. You're interacting with people.
Okay.
And and you can see the Yakuza team influence there as to character expressions, you know, how people talk, how people act. And what's really surprising is that the game actually takes, you know, character choice as a really important thing in a shooter. Like,
cool.
I've gone through, like, I
beat. Are you on Paragon or Renegade?
None actually.
Okay.
Like there's no morality system per se. Like,
okay.
It all depends on if the people in your squad trust you and the individual members. I went through the game, and okay. There's like five scenes in the beginning of the game where things play out really differently depending on who you choose to be in, who you pick to be in your squad. And I really tempted to already go through the game again and see how things play out if I pick a different squad mate to be there.
Cool. So, what about this game really stands out in basically kind of a crowded genre? Like, what in one line is like, this is the game for this? This is if you like, what is the selling point here?
Yeah, it's a game made for fans of third-person shooters. Like, there's no real Binary Domain doesn't break any new ground. Like, okay. It doesn't have this revolutionary feature that will change third-person shooters forever.
That's too bad.
The game is solid. The combat is fun. There's a plot that one can actually follow and relate to without trying to be overly complicated. And
okay. Great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun game. What else can I say?
So if you want a Japanese third person shooter that's actually good, then Binary Domain is your game.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Vanquish pretty good?
Vanquish is great. Yeah, Vanquish is great. But I guess when I think of a huge Japanese developed third person shooter with a cover system, I guess the first thing that pops up in my mind is
Lost Planet.
Quantum Theory, actually.
Okay.
Which everyone knows was a huge success.
Well, see, that's another thing about Binary Domain. People liken it to having like a cover to being all around based on the cover system, but it's one of those games where at the very because the game itself has like an upgrade system. At the very beginning, you have to use the cover, but the further I went into the game, I had to use even less cover most of the time, and I just it devolved in. Well, I would say evolved in this case into being a real third person shooter where cover is taken like actually, you know, standing behind a wall, if you will, instead of just you know, pressing X to be near a wall to cover and recover your health.
So
what Duke Nukem tried to do, which was actually have a character where you can actually take shots and you don't have to stay behind cover for 80% of the game.
Right.
So it's kind of more old school in that way. Like I guess you could say, like, compared to Gears, which is kind of more not strategic, but like it's a slower paced game, than Binary Domain kind of evolves into a faster paced experience.
Yeah, like. It helps that because you can upgrade your character's weapons, you can upgrade your squad mates' weapons. You find nano machines lying around that you can use to give your characters an increase in abilities, like a nano machine that increases your recovery health recovery by 1.5, makes your melee attacks hit faster, your reload time faster, so on. And you can customize your own character to fit your own playstyle. And if you like being behind cover, then hey, you can customize your character so you can be behind cover all the time. But at the same time, if you just want to go in with a shotgun and shoot robots in the face head on, then you can.
Whoa. There's robot face shooting.
Oh yeah,
I wasn't in before. Now I'm in. Done.
Okay. I think I can get
that. That should be your sentence. That should be your one sentence. This is for if you want to shoot robots in the face.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You can shoot robots in the face.
Okay.
And when you blow up a robot's face, they'll turn around and they'll start shooting other robots.
What? Like they're not dead? You just blew up.
No, because it's a robot. So when you blow off their head, they don't shut down automatically. They still move on, but they no longer recognize you as enemies. They just start shooting the other robots.
Right.
Because they can't see what they're doing. They just kind of they're going crazy.
And
I'm
like,
not sure I like that.
That's one of the things I love about the game, which is that the robots, as long as their head is still intact, they will try to keep attacking you no matter what you do to them. Like, you can blow off one leg and they'll just start crawling over to you and trying to attack you while you know, crawling on the ground, pull out a sidearm. If you blow off the arm that has their main weapon, they'll pull out a sidearm and keep trying to keep shooting you.
This is just really frightening.
There is this boss fight. It's a gigantic robot spider. The initial goal is to blow off its legs to be able to attack the center target, but the robot will keep trying to find ways to attack you, even if it only has one leg left.
See, that's the kind of thing that I really liked about it from what I played in the demo. It's, for lack of a better comparison, kind of like Dead Space and the fact that destroying specific limbs is important, you know, strategically.
Okay. All right, well, sounds interesting. I think we can wrap up our games discussion and move on to our next topic. Andrew, you want to lead us in?
So, we all love video games, but sometimes video games end poorly. With kind of like the big outcry over Mass Effect 3's ending, whether or not you like it, it's causing a stir. So, we kind of wanted to talk about the game endings that we love, personally. And, of course, there will probably be spoilers for a lot of games.
But we're going to be talking about game endings.
Yeah, so there will be spoilers for games, but I don't think we're going to be talking about anything super recent. At least I won't be.
I won't either.
I think the most recent game I'll talk about is like from 2010, but I'm sure everyone who wanted to play that game has played it by now. So anyway,
doesn't have to be specifically endings we love, because I mean I did want to bring up the Osiris Wrath ending to see what Andrew thought about that.
Oh yeah, we could talk about that in without spoilers, but I hated that ending, and the other ending that left things even more open.
it's enough to say that I thought the fake out ending was better than the true ending.
Yeah, I was okay with it. I think the fact that they left things open and then just kind of like, well, maybe there will be a sequel or something. I don't know.
And then you get to the true ending, and that's even worse.
You have to play through the entire last level again, and everything is exactly the same except for the last cutscene. And like, you think they're gonna like wrap things up like more meaningfully. Like, yeah, I was kind of okay with the cliffhanger ending, but you know, hey, they're gonna have a true ending. Cool, I'll go replay this last chapter again. I did not like replaying the last chapter again, so I was really looking forward to something like crazy at the end. And it's kind of crazy at first, but then it just ends. Like, it starts getting crazy, and then the crazy just ends, and then there's credits. I'm just like, I want more crazy. What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. You know, a lot of backlash about game endings. I feel like it's important to bring up the fact that games have never really had great endings.
No, they haven't.
They've always just kind of been dumb. Like, let's go back to, say, Super Mario Brothers 2.
that was an ending that reflected how completely insane that game was, though.
Right.
And I guess wasn't really a great ending.
But like, the choices that you made in that game to not die, to not fall down waterfalls, to kill, you know, various animal-like things.
So you're saying
that's not at all reflected
in the ending? Oh, yeah. You're right.
I just feel gypped.
My choices and everything were carried through from the first Mario Brothers, so I was really looking forward to seeing how those were incorporated in the sequel, and weren't.
They really hyped that up.
What a letdown.
But
good endings. There are good endings.
Yes.
In video games.
Let's
they might not
some.
be I think this is one of my favorites of the past like decade.
Okay.
And it's not the exact ending.
Okay.
But it leads into something awesome that leads to the ending. So I guess it's hard to explain, but Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
Basically the game ends with John Marston being surrounded, and you kind of go out trying to shoot down as many guys as possible and ends up getting him killed. And then his wife and son return to the barn where he was left, and they find his body, they bury him, and then the game skips time to where his son is now older, and you are playing as him. It seems like it's going to be like, okay, so there's no way to continue playing after the game's over, like in pretty much every other Rockstar game. But they actually have a clever way of continuing it. And then there is a small quest which a lot of people can miss, which leads to you finding the person that was behind the death of John Marston and getting revenge on him. And then the game ends with it saying redemption, which kind of indicates that was the redemption the title was talking about and not John Marston's redemption.
Okay.
In context, it's probably cooler than me trying to describe it, but anyone who has played it knows just how kind of impactful it was that they took this turn, and I was not expecting it at all.
Okay.
So that is one of my favorites personally.
That's fair. Yeah, sure. Hey, Sean.
Yo.
You've experienced game endings from time to time.
Yes. Around 100 of them, I think. Okay.
So, like, what's your favorite game ending? What was the one you liked the most?
Well, I was looking through a list of games I've beaten, and it seems like there's a lot of games that I was either on the ending where I just didn't like or did nothing for me. I don't really remember specifics of most endings, but I remember how they made me feel. And the one that made me feel best is probably Ghost Trick's ending.
Okay.
Oh, man. We're going to be spoiling Ghost Trick, aren't we?
Nope.
Because I don't remember specifics.
It's good. It's a good ending.
It's a very good ending.
It's a good game, and you should play it. Okay, we didn't spoil it. Let's move on.
Because I still need to play that, and I will play it. Trust me. But
yeah, it's actually on my list of shame and shelf of unopened games at the moment, too. So,
but, all I can say about it is the missile is awesome.
Okay. Great.
He stays awesome the whole game, and he's good at the end also.
Good.
I do like Missile. What about you, Graham?
Me?
Yes. Give me an ending.
Good ending like. Or, like, okay. Good ending.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because there are big, epic endings that I've experienced. There are, you know... I haven't really liked any of those big endings because they try to do something special with it. And I don't know. I've never found those to be that successful. So I'm the kind of guy, I really do like an epilogue. I like knowing what happened, you know? So I guess my favorite ending is Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. And there's very little at the end. It's just kind of a cutscene. But for all, you know, all these characters from these two games, Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn, it as long as they're alive at the end of the story, the ending lets you, like, it gives you what happens to the character. It's like all, like, 80 of them. It's like, okay, and, you know, and some of them change depending on whether other characters also live that they're closely associated with. And I like that. It gave me all of the information I was hoping to have. So,
I mean, kind of every Fire Emblem game kind of ends that way. But I haven't actually finished Radiant Dawn. But it seems like because those characters are not in like a Mass Effect sense, they're carrying over from one game to another. But they're the same characters,
right?
And they're you saying that's because it's more impactful?
It's because there are two games and they're longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot more story there than there is in, say, the GBA Fire Emblem games.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's more story. It's longer. It's a bigger game.
Surprised you didn't mention the Valkyria Chronicles ending as well. Which is a very nice ending.
it's not my favorite part of that game.
Yeah, I can see that.
The one issue that the original Valkyria Chronicles has is its pacing is a little strange. Its hardest levels are like chapter 7 and 17 of like 25 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah. And so the end is just kind of this silly sequence, and I don't know. I was okay with it. I was all right with it, I guess.
Yeah. Silly sequences can be good, though. They can be heartwarming. That's kind of how I felt about it.
Well, I mean... yeah. All right. So, hey, Grant.
Yeah.
Endings.
All right, well, I'll admit I'm a fan of bittersweet endings, generally, just because they happen less often, I guess. I think that's why it just strikes me more. But
all the time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, most of the games I play end happily, though, I guess. But I think one that probably stands out and probably will stand out for the rest of forever for me is Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh.
Honestly, I think that is like the only game that's ever made me feel anything.
You're a horrible, cold human being. But
I guess so. Like, no, it's just kind of like, you know, I just play video games for fun. And, you know, but like story, like gameplay is the most important part of a game, obviously. That one, we could get into
I agree with you, but there are people who wouldn't.
Yeah, I know.
Keep going.
But it's just like the ending of that game was just, you know, it's a prequel. I mean, everyone should know that by now. It's takes place before 1 and 2. And it basically just sets forward, like, it explains a lot of stuff that wasn't explained in 1 and 2, and I guess even possibly the Metal Gear games. And just the way they ended it, the final fight was just kind of, I don't know. It was just beautiful. It's like, that is the closest I've ever felt a game has gotten to, like, cinematic quality, or, like, cinema. For me, I mean, there's been plenty of games since that have proved me wrong, I guess, but for me, that one just always stands out. Like, the imagery that's presented in that field of flowers and all that, and the music that plays. The music's very important. I mean, the part at the very end where he goes in to shake hands with the president.
Yeah.
That was, like, one of the most powerful parts, or, like, when he's saluting the grave. All that stuff is just, like, really, really vivid imagery to me, and it's just, like, you felt awful for what you did.
Yeah, you do.
At the end of three.
I was considering mentioning that, but I for some reason Red Dead Redemption stuck out. But yeah, that is one of my favorite endings. And I love the Metal Gear Solid 4 ending as well, but that's a great ending because it ends the entire series. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure there's still going to be more Metal Gear after this, but it kind of ends Solid Snake's story. Whereas Metal Gear Solid 3 as a standalone ending is just really powerful. Like, you could just play MGS3 and still get a lot out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And just overall, just a fantastic ending. Not a whole lot of gameplay in the ending, but that's like Metal Gear Solid as a whole.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah?
Endings.
Endings. Endings I love, too, that come to mind are the ending to the third Phoenix Wright game.
Okay.
Where pretty much everything that's been built up over the course of the series just comes to fruition.
That is a good one.
Yep.
It is. And maybe not a common response, but the ending to Ace Combat Zero.
Hmm.
I don't remember the ending to that game. And that I don't know why, but I just don't. Refresh my memory here.
Oh, it ends with the one-on-one fight with the... Oh, I forgot his name. The partner that you have at the beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Who has the ship with the laser mounted on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The game's plot in general is great, but the ending itself, just the thematic around it, the fantastic music, mm-hmm. the setting, the dramatic build-up, and it's pretty great.
I think the Ace Combat series in general has a better storyline than most people give it credit for, except for maybe 6, which is kind of ridiculous at
mm-hmm.
some spots, but yeah.
I thought you want to go fly with the angels.
God. we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
But the game, Ace Combat 6 is a great game, though. But yeah, that was where I was like, man, I really love the Ace Combat story. I don't think they could really do anything to make it worse than or make it bad or anything, and then Ace Combat 6 comes out, and they just kind of completely prove everything I said about the series wrong with that game. Although the story is still isn't as bad as some people make it out to be, but it can be kind of cringeworthy at times.
And the only other one that I can think is that bad is the U.S. release for 3, but that's because of how much cut content it had.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember.
All right. Any other endings people want to bring up?
I would like to say that the ending of Radiant Historia is pretty nice.
Ah!
It does have a pretty good epilogue, which gets longer based on how many which side quests you do.
Ah.
Which wraps up pretty much every character's in-game story.
Cool.
I have one. I have I think the end of 50 Cent Blood on the Sand is a fantastic example of how video games can transcend, you know, the interactive medium and kind of blend together everything we know and love about storytelling and narrative. You know, because Finney gets his skull back at the end.
Oh, okay.
In the end, there's a cigar in the skull, and it's pretty amazing. It's pretty poetic, I think.
Okay.
You know what ending I liked?
Yes.
The ending to Grotesque Tactics.
Because it meant you didn't have to play any more Grotesque Tactics?
Exactly.
Yep.
Until you played the second one.
Yep, you did. You played more.
But then I stopped playing it.
Okay.
I do want to say, here's hoping that XSEED somehow hears about this. The ending of Trails in the Sky would be so much better if we actually got confirmation that the trailer they give us will happen. Or is for a game that will happen.
Here in the U.S. anyway.
Yes, because they end the game with a trailer for Chapter 2 of the game. And there's no confirmation it'll actually come out over here yet.
That's the worst.
Yep.
Didn't that Sonic game on the DS kind of have an ending like that, where it's just like, well, stay tuned for the second game to find out more?
Dark Brotherhood?
Yeah. I've just heard about it. I've never played the game myself.
Probably it was a BioWare game.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about aborted trilogies all we want.
Advent Rising.
Oh, Advent Rising.
Holds a special place in my heart.
I know, right? That was pretty, like, as someone who didn't deal with the Xbox version and instead had a highly patched PC experience 3 or 4 years later,
yeah,
I had a lot of fun with that game.
That game was a lot of fun.
Great soundtrack. $2 million, though.
Yeah, I know. I was so looking forward to that.
I was so looking forward to getting $1 million.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
Play 2K12 then.
Okay.
Okay. But like you just said, I shouldn't, because I have a PS3.
That's true. If you have a PS3, you should not play 2K12. It's worth $9.
Need to get your story straight.
I have a rising. I said for $9. How about that?
Okay.
If you listen to this podcast,
you
will maybe win $1 million.
Yeah.
After listening to it.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
You could listen to the podcast and you could win $1 million.
It might not. It's probably not going to be from us.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be from us. If I get $1 million, I'm not giving it to you.
Oh, you're not going
to
buy
myself to make this a better site. I will start paying something for content or something. I don't know.
You'll start paying the website directly.
Yep.
And then the website will produce better content.
Yep, that's, yeah. Okay. All right. As we go out, I think we could do a little quick rapid fire of some endings. Let's go around and say names of games with endings and see what kind of reaction people have to them.
Eternal Sonata.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was expecting that.
Yeah. Portal 2.
Yay! Yay!
I'm gonna throw out StarCraft, like the first one. You know, you can count each like campaign as an ending if you want.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. The Conduit 2.
Yes. I've never played The Conduit 2, but that is an amazing ending.
Yep.
I hear it got spoiled in the review somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, that yeah.
Yep.
It should be.
Oops.
That is a positive.
Oops. Yep.
Not just saying the game's ending, you should specify why the game's ending is awesome. Because no one will ever actually play The Conduit 2.
That's true.
Xeno 1.
Space Washington and Space Lincoln.
Why not?
Yeah. Yep.
Let's see, Space Channel 5?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The ending of all the endings of the original BioShock.
Okay.
Sigh.
I'm still in the medbay.
Okay. Well, spoilers. No matter what ending you get, it'll suck. So, sorry to disappoint. Yeah.
The end of Mario 3. Kart.
Ooh, Mario! I love the Mario Kart ending. I know some people think, you know, it's controversial. Really, it's a really simple way to throw out all the left and right turns you made getting there.
I like that your choices matter.
Yeah.
I was considering creating a petition to change that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Petition to change the title screen again to a different title screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one in mind, but then I forgot because you threw me off.
Indigo, I like the prophecy. End to Luminous.
Luminous always has a great ending because it ends with...
Well, I mean, the problem is it's just so many hours. You know, you just got to sit there through all the cutscenes.
No, actually, I take that back. The ending of Luminous is terrible because that means you stop playing Luminous. But the good thing is you just keep playing Luminous again.
Yeah, that new game plus. Yes. Yeah. It's just
the end of Civilization 4. What do you guys think of that?
I had a pretty good ending. I don't know about you.
I liked my ending.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like 5 different endings, I think.
Yeah.
Did you mention Fallout 3? Because which ending? Are we talking about the ending before the DLC or the ending after the DLC?
Yes.
I haven't finished the DLC.
We're talking about one of those.
Okay, well, Fallout 3's ending was not that great. The DLC made the ending worse. So.
Bastion.
You know what ending I don't like? The ending to the Beatles Rock Band.
What's that?
You don't like playing the end?
Such a sad ending.
Bastion ending.
This group of people you've been working with and getting to know through the entire game, they just go their separate ways, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I didn't like is that fake end for Chrono Cross. You beat the boss, and then all of a sudden, all you get is the credits. No scene, nothing.
Yep.
Just go straight to credits.
I agree with Jeff's suggestion of Bastion. Both endings are pretty great. Especially
Andrew. The ending to Lifeline.
What is it? What'd you say?
The ending to Lifeline.
I don't think I actually saw the ending to Lifeline. I don't know. I must have missed it. did it involve her barking like a dog?
Sadly, no.
That sounds like a disappointing ending. I don't know. I like games.
I like games, too. Hey, let's go around. Wrapping up. Hey, Grant, do you like games?
Yeah,
you bet. Hey, Andrew, do you like games?
I do.
Sean, do you like games?
I love them.
Jerry, do you like games?
Most of the time.
Jeff, do you like games?
I do.
Okay, we like games.
Yeah.
See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wait, that's ending. That ending's terrible. No.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.
I don't feel like my choices made a difference in this ending.
I'm going to start a petition about this ending.
I'm going to complain to the FTC.